Okay, I want to know who kept up with that last song. Got every word in. All right. It's a neat little song I ran across, and it's worth trying to learn because we serve the Almighty God. Amen? He's the one in control. In spite of everything that's going on in this world, we have reason to praise. How often? Always. Always. You want to turn over to the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 15. We're going to be looking at one verse today. Just one verse. It should actually take us about a week to cover this topic, but we're going to cover it in 2 hours. Well, maybe less than that, okay? Just had to see if you were awake. It was in the 1700s, a great Britain abused the 13 colonies of America so badly that they rebelled and decided to form the United States of America. The colonial leaders wrote the Declaration of Independence, which lists the major abuses which had been and were being committed by the English under the approval of the king's permission to abuse and torment and cause problems with the pioneers across the ocean. The second paragraph of that declaration, you've heard it before. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it goes on to list the grievances. Throughout the world, people are unhappy. Have you ever noticed that? People just seem to be unhappy all around us. And sometimes we wake up and look in the mirror and we say, who is that? Why are they looking so sad? Various levels of dissatisfaction and unrest rule people's lives. Good news and experiences are overridden by bad news. If there's not a problem with the weather, something or someone will take its place. And if trouble hasn't been occurring in your neck of the woods, the news will make sure that you do feel bad, telling about all the news of the bad news of everybody else. If we were to ask people to define what happiness is, the pursuit of happiness, most people would say that it's a good feeling of contentment or joyfulness or fulfillment or something similar to that. They link it with joy. And then if you ask them, well, can you describe what joy is, they would use the same terms. It's a matter of happiness and fulfillment, contentment, etc. In fact, if you go to Webster's Dictionary, Webster's Dictionary describes joy as the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires, delight, expressing or exhibiting good emotions, a state of happiness, the source or cause of delight. What? So they're the same, right? Well, according to the world, and according to Webster's, happiness and joy, they are walking down the street arm in arm. I did a brief search on the internet to see how happy people think that they are. And Gallup, have you ever heard of Gallup? They do polls. And they've done worldwide studies across the world. Last year, they did a study of how happy people are on a world basis. Nation by nation, and not every nation, they weren't able to get into every nation, but this came off the internet and shows the happiness level of different countries. According to this, they have a scale from 1 to 10, 1 being you're just not happy at all, 0, and number 10 being you just can't hardly handle yourself, you're so happy. Afghanistan is the on the average, is the lowest nation, they measured only a 1.7 level of happiness as a nation. And that's on the average. There are exceptions, you know, highs and lows. These are averages. Finland was the highest nation at 7.7. So a lot of people are thinking, I think maybe I should move to Finland and take all my sorrow over there. Does that make sense? And in spite of all the trouble that Israel is facing with the wars and constant bombing and everything, they measure a 7.3 level of happiness. How about us here in the United States of America? We don't have any bombs dropping on us. We don't have the problems like a lot of people in the world. We only measured a 6.7. And we're behind Canada at its 6.9. No nation ever reached the level of 8. Hardly to even mention 10. Nobody is just overcome with joy and happiness in our world as a nation. Another article that I ran across, just printed up this week by a psychologist and medical professional, Friedman Schaub. I can't say his name right. It's from Psychology Today. Surely he has the answer. And it was approved by another medical professional. They say that the only way that you can control happiness, it all lays on your shoulders. It's all up to you. And if you want to be joyful or happy, it's you got to do it. And they give some ideas and explanations on how you can be joyful and happy. Unlike the world, the Bible does not treat happiness and joy as the same thing. We have a lot of sorrow recorded in the Scripture, and yet we have statements in the Scripture that say you can be joyful even in your times of sorrow. The Zondervan's Pictorial Bible Dictionary explains the difference. Happiness depends largely upon happenings, good health, congenial company, pleasant surroundings, etc. Happiness and unhappiness do not exist together, but joy and sorrow can and do. Have you ever run into that in your Scriptures? That people who are very unhappy because of situations are still joyful, according to the Scriptures. For example, Acts chapter 5, the apostles, all 12 apostles, were jailed, thrown in jail, beaten. They were lectured by the high priests and all the other priests, and then they were scourged. Does that sound painful? It was. But in spite of their suffering, discomfort, and pain, they rejoiced. A similar story is told in Acts chapter 16, after Paul and Silas were beaten, jailed, and left in stocks through the night. What were they doing in the middle of the night after all that? They were singing praises to God. How is that possible? How could the apostles have joy while experiencing unhappiness? Well, the answer is found in our text today, our verse today. Let's pray before we read it, and then we'll continue. Father, we thank you for your grace and mercy. We have sung some songs of praise and worship celebrating you because you are the Almighty One. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your life, your blessings, your love, the redemption, and so much more. Father, as we consider your Scripture, help us to take to heart your message and your truth. Father, help us to discover this joy made full if we have not found it at this point. And Father, help us to share this message with those around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 15, we're just looking at one verse, verse 11. Jesus is speaking, and this is after he has shared with them, initiated the Lord's Supper. They are on their way from the upper room to the Garden of Gethsemane. Judas Iscariot has gone on to do his final work of betraying Jesus. And Jesus has been telling the disciples about something that's about ready to happen. And yet he says, "These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full." Jesus promised to give the disciples his joy even as he was preparing to be brutally tortured, crucified, and die. How could Jesus have joy in this situation and not only just have joy but also have enough to give to all of his disciples? Let's look at some scripture. The Old Testament identifies God as the source of joy. All things in the heavens came from the will of God. Everything in this world, everything in this universe came from God. It's all by His plan and all by His command. He is the Almighty over all things, including what? Joy. As we look through the Old Testament, we see that people who obeyed God's word discovered His joy. In Psalm chapter 16, we find this testimony of King David's full trust in God's help, His provision, His strength, His protection. David summarizes God's care in the last verse. He says, "He will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." God gives joy. God's supreme reign leads His people to have joy. In Psalm 33, verse 1 and following, we read, "Sing for joy in the Lord, O you righteous ones. Praise is becoming to the upright." Verse 3, "Sing to Him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all His work is done in faithfulness." Joy comes from God. Celebrating God, being with God, honoring God, thinking about everything that God has for us. Joy overwhelms the forgiven soul, given eternal life from God. In Psalm 51, a psalm of repentance from King David, we firmly believe, in verses 10 through 12, David, the repentant sinner, says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit." Joy comes from who? God. When we are in a right standing with God, we receive His joy. Not happiness. Happiness is totally different. Happiness is based on your circumstances, the situation around you, your emotions, but God wants us to have His joy. The ancient people who trusted in and walked with God through life's trials give us solid testimony over and over again throughout the Old Testament that joy comes from our everlasting God. We can have joy when we walk with God. Jesus goes on to reveal that He Himself is the source of true joy. Because what? Jesus is God in human flesh. And He wants us to enjoy what is part of His nature, part of His blessing. The Apostle John opened his gospel stating that Jesus is the Word of God. He is the one who created the entire universe with all that is in it. As the Creator, He knows all about it, including the source of joy. And He says, I want you to have my joy. It's from God, the Word of God. He offers it to us. He wants us to have His joy. He wanted His disciples to have joy. Here it is on the eve of His crucifixion when they're going to be sorrowful, but they can still have His joy because God is still in control. The words of Jesus give joy to those who believe them. That's what He says right here. These things I have spoken to you. What did He speak? He spoke His words, His directions, His instructions. And those who follow the instructions and directions of Jesus are given what? His joy. If we believe Him, we accept His words, He assures us we will have His joy. Every word spoken by Jesus are words of life. They're words of strength. They're words of healing. They're words of direction for us. Words of correction for us so that we can be found pleasing to the Almighty, pleasing to God, walking with God through God Himself, Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. God is the source of life, isn't He? He's the source of all the blessings, all that is good, including joy. And we are assured that we have this when we walk with the Lord of life. Jesus identified Himself as the way, the truth, and the life, the only way to the Father. Jesus heals people broken by sin. He gives them new life. He gives them new purpose. He gives them a new union with God, restoring heaven's joy to that person. The unity with our Father brings us joy. Joy is part of the human life that God wants to restore to us. Human sin and corruption violated this creation. It violated our relationship with God. But the Lord God had prepared and sent who? The Redeemer, Jesus Christ, to bring healing, restoration, and joy into our lives once again. And as Jesus left, He promises in this section, He's already mentioned it, and He's going to talk about it some more, Jesus gives His Spirit to believers. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit. What does the Holy Spirit do? What does the Holy Spirit have? He has a lot of things. He's life, He's the power, He's the strength of God living within us. And He has these qualities about Him, one of them being joy. Providing His joy in us. What does Galatians 5, 22 and 23 say? The fruit, the outcome, the result of the Spirit is love. Number two is what? Joy. Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All of these qualities of God are within us as we follow the leading of God's Spirit, as we let the Spirit of God lead us in these blessings. We have a love unlike that of the world. We were talking about this in our Bible study in the Psalm 116. It says, I love because of God. Where did that come from? From God Himself, when we walk in His path. We have joy because God is in us. We have peace because God is in control. And He's promised to take care of who? His children, us. And the list goes on. The Holy Spirit lives in us to bless us with the qualities and the gifts and the nature of God Himself, joy included. Jesus prepared and empowered the apostles with His joy plus the Holy Spirit to begin building His church composed of more believers who were filled also with that same Spirit, including the joy to face a world that is full of trouble. Does that mean all of our troubles are going to end? No. But we have God's power to face all circumstances, every challenge, and still have His joy to carry us on. Christ's full joy strengthens the Lord's church. Satan fights believers with greater intensity, doing all that he can to distract us, to derail our dedication to the Lord of life. But just like the Old Testament heroes, we can face the lions of life, we can face the fires of discouragement, we can face every foe that comes against us with God's help. The Apostle John wrote, "You are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world." Who's in us? God is in us, and His nature is in us. So we don't have to fear Satan, his tricks, his deceit. We've got to stay walking with God. We need to be faithful, but through the troubles, through the heartaches, through the trials, God's love, joy, peace, patience, all of His nature will be with us. Believers obedient to Christ become children of God. We are God's kids. Never forget, you are God's child when you walk in Jesus Christ with God. His Spirit leads us in the paths of righteousness. Romans 8, verse 12 and following talk about that relationship we have with God, that we are children of God, walking in His pathway, doing His work, His will, fighting the battles against Satan and the evil. And in through all of that, we may be unhappy, we may be suffering, but we can still have His joy lifting up our hearts and moving us forward. Christians facing trials have joy as God's plan is fulfilled. In Romans 8:28, we know that God causes all things to work together for what? For good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. God has plans, and sometimes it takes His children, us, through difficult circumstances, through trials, through hardships. We see this in the lives of the apostles, in the first century Christians. We read about it in history, in the Book of Martyrs, and all these other witnesses, the Old Testament. The life of Joseph, the life of Moses, they weren't easy lives. Abraham, they still had problems, they still had suffering, but they still had the joy knowing that God was with them. And God was taking care of them. God was working His plan. Jesus Christ faced the wrath of His enemies with joy, knowing that He would conquer the power of sin and death by what? He was going to be resurrected. Jesus knew that, and that joy carried Him through to fulfill the great torture and the suffering that He had to endure. God used Paul's trials, led him to testify before governors and kings and emperors. But in order to have that time with those higher-ups, Paul suffered beatings, tortures, shipwreck, hunger, cold, and who knows how much more. But God still kept joy in his heart. Christians have joy because their reward is where? Our reward is in heaven, not in this world. We're headed to heaven. And that's where our final reward is. We need to remember that. We are sealed and protected by God's Spirit until Christ returns for us. Then we will join the angels of heaven and celebrate our Lord and Savior for how long? Forever. It's going to be great. But in the meantime, we still have work to do. We have trials to face. We've got suffering to endure. But keep God's joy in your heart. Unbelievers cannot receive Christ's gift of joy. A lot of people are trying to create joy in their life. We go down to the store and we buy a bag of almond joys, hoping that's going to solve our problems. It's kind of nice for a few minutes, right? Until the bag runs empty. How great of that was that joy? Didn't last very long because it's not God's joy. The Holy Spirit will not dwell in people who refuse to surrender their will to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. And it's impossible to receive His joy. You are different from the rest of the world when you gave your life to Jesus Christ. He transformed you. You became a new creature. And part of it was to be a joyful person. How are you doing on that? Pretty good? Some days are hard, though, aren't they? And we need to turn to God. But His joy will lift us up. How in the world did Paul write to the church at Philippi and say, "Rejoice in the Lord always"? And again I say, rejoice. Because Jesus had him in His care. And Jesus has you in His care if you are listening and obeying His words. Remember our verse? "These things I have spoken to you so that you may have my joy, so that your joy may be made full." Let's let the full joy of Jesus lead our hearts as we walk with Him, as we learn more about Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 warns us to not quench the Spirit. God gives us His Spirit to dwell in us as believers. But we can push off the Spirit and say, "No, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to still do it my way." A lot of people have done this, and I hope it's not you. We've got to be people in tune with the words, the teachings of Jesus Christ. We need to be people who are in tune with His Spirit, following those urges, those promptings of the Holy Spirit, moving us in our daily activities to do the will of God His way, not our way, but His way. Jesus said He gives His full joy to His disciples who are obedient to His words. His blessing of joy is still available to us. Let's encourage each other, help each other grow in that joy, that peace, that love of Christ, all the blessings of the Spirit, walking with Him, following the prompting of the Spirit. We will still suffer trials. We will still have unhappiness. There will be sorrows, but God's joy will carry us through if we walk with our hand in His. God's joy in His Spirit will lift us up and will carry us through in His time. Let's trust in God. That's part of the process. Let's grow through the trials, the hardships, the grief, knowing that God still loves us. Nothing will separate us from His love. He's going to take care of us. He's promised us an eternity. And we will do fine. Not because of us, but because of the grace of God. Amen? Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for your grace and mercies. Thank you for the gift of your Spirit. Thank you for the gift of your Son who has paid for all of our sin and transformed us and made us new creatures. We pray for those who have not committed their ways to you, that they would not hold back any longer, that they would surrender their will. Help us to not grieve your Spirit when you prompt us that we will be attentive and listen to the guidance of your Spirit speaking to our minds, that we will be alert to your will and your way. When we are tempted, when we are tried, when we have hardship, let us put our trust in you, following the example of the apostles, the individuals of the Scriptures, and most importantly of Jesus himself, who saw the joy that lay before him beyond the hardship of the cross. Thank you for hope. Thank you for your peace and your blessings. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.